The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
LeBron, Steph, maybe Anthony Davis. It's do or mostly die, as we say in our best Bond way. And Tony La Russa versus his own team with Yates, Kaplan, McMullen, and Mr. Page. Yes, I expect you to mute.
Hello, Woody. Straight out of Goodfellas, my friend. Huh?
Where are you going after?
Bad fellas.
Where are you going?
Just got out of the cloud car.
Last night, Jason Tatum, 50, and the Indiana Pacers by 50. Whether how the play-ins played out has you recalibrating your desire for this play-in tournament. We'll put that over to the side for a second because T-minus 5 hours until Lakers-Warriors. Intrigue here with Anthony Davis being listed as questionable and with anything being possible with Steph versus LeBron. If you told me anything was going to happen tonight, Steph had 100, LeBron had a quintuple double, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what happened. I think you all agree the Warriors need Steph to go off like he has for the last month in order for this to be a game in some way. Lakers say they'll put everybody on him, Jackie. What's the right approach?
Oh, sure. Put everybody on him. And I would guess that they're going to start with Dennis Schroeder, although it'll be interesting to see how healthy he is. He's been out for a while now, how his timing is, how his conditioning is. I wouldn't want to be a guy that was just coming back from any kind of long layoff to try to juke with Steph Curry, to try to do the sleight of hand with Steph Curry. It's a really tall order, especially with Draymond Green out there, who knows every move Steph's going to make before Steph even makes it. And Steph knows everything Draymond's going to do for him before he does it, which is why they're one of the best duos in the game today, even though they don't have quite the numbers, say, of an AD or LeBron. I will say this about Steph. They made a big deal about Schroeder holding him to 15% from the three-point line. Don't start calling him a Steph stopper. I warn you, to do this with any superstar, it's always going to blow up in your face. I will say this, though. If the Warriors want to win, aside from Steph, Tony, this would be a great night for Andrew Wiggins to prove himself to all those skeptical Warrior fans by having a big
game. That sentence has been said before. Broad stroke here, though, Jackie. If the Lakers hold Steph under blank, they win this game.
20.
Whoa, I thought you were going to say 50. All right, Emily Kaplan, how about you?
No, I think they can do other things.
If the Lakers hold him under 40, then it's a game. And if not, then they've got a problem. But look, Dylan Brooks showed on Sunday that he gave Steph a handful chasing around the court and being physical. I just don't think that Dennis Schroeder is that guy. So what the Lakers are going to do is throw the kitchen sink at him. The thing is, Steph is used to seeing the kitchen sink this season. He has had the highest percentage of blitzes that he's ever seen. It's the highest percentage in the league. But what I think we are forgetting in this entire conversation is that the Lakers can do other things that can slow down the Warriors. If they can kill them in the paint, which they can, Anthony Davis can be a huge X factor here. He's averaged 12.4 rebounds in his career, including 17 the last time they played. So I think the Lakers got this just fine.
Woody, I'll ask you the same question. If the Lakers hold Steph under blank, they win this game.
Well, I think that depends on how healthy their two big guys are. I mean, if LeBron is still struggling with the ankle and Davis says he's fine, but we don't really know. We haven't seen them together for quite a while in a tight game. So in regard to what they're going to do against Curry, I think they should run a box and one. My source, Jackie, told me earlier today that there has been a coach who's used a box and one against him, and I think that would be effective, even though it sounds like something out of the 50s when I started playing basketball. But the second thing is that you must have LeBron, if he is totally healthy, as they're claiming, you must have him at least for 15 minutes of the game on Curry. We have seen LeBron in the past take it on as a test to actually guard the best guard on the other team, who's a big scoring guard, and he's done it effectively. The third thing I do is that I do keep switching people off on him. I'm not talking kitchen sink here. I'm talking, though, that you take three or four different guys, run them in and out of the game, and try to wear him down somewhere.
All right, so you're treating this like a must-win, then, it sounds like, for the Lakers, if you want LeBron chasing after Curry for 15 minutes or whatever it is you said. Clinton Yates, everything on the floor for you. Get it.
Jack McMullen's warning is very much heeded. I would not go so far as to call Schroeder a Steph stopper, but I do think he is very specifically the person on this team as to why you got him. This is the job he has to do, and if he believes it, I think that counts as much towards anything, and that's why you rest him to get back to where he is. I need Schroeder to be running around on Steph so the other guys can eat in the paint. They're a much larger team, the Lakers, and I think that to have LeBron running around, that's just a focus where I don't need him considering what he's coming back from an injury standpoint as well. So I think the Lakers win this game if Steph holds under 30, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Jackie, I'll let you get back in.
Yeah, one thing I think I should point out is who is going to stop LeBron? Just remember that Draymond Green probably has more success slowing LeBron James down and preventing him from doing what he wants to do.
One of the
it's a two-way street.
Delicious things about this, right? The history they have playing in the finals.
Great friends, too.
Right. So, Jackie, you said it more like anyone else, that you were leaning towards this being not a 50-50 game, but a real shot that Golden State can pull off this upset. How is this game won?
So here's what I would say. In a seven-game series, it's the Lakers all day, every day. This is a one-game winner-take-all to move whatever direction you're going to go. I'm going to stick my neck out and say the Golden State Warriors, because they've 15-5 in the last 20 games, they're playing together, they've got the ball on a string, and the Lakers, I'm just not 100% sure where they are physically. Mm-hmm. So
you've got Golden State tonight. Now, Emily, you said the Lakers read it easily. Clinton, you agree with that too. And Woody, you were leaning Lakers. You can make it official now.
Yes. When you've got the two great players on one team, I think they're going to shoot a lot of free throws, and that's going to be the difference in the game.
Boston, officially the seventh seed now in the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about that. They draw the Nets because of Tatum's superhero performance yesterday. And now we have the prospect of Kyrie Irving sage-burning his way back to Boston, Jackie. This is your account, so we'll start with you again. After seeing last night, does Boston have any chance in the series?
Well, of course they have some chance, but I would not be the person putting my money down on that. There's one thing that's been consistent about the Boston Celtics this year, Tony, and that's their inconsistency. Yep. Jason Tatum can have 50 points on a night and look like the best player in the league. And then the next game, if things are struggling, his shot isn't falling, he looks like a much different player. And they have to live and die by him now with Jaylen Brown's sideline. The one thing I will point out to you is obviously they didn't beat the Nets this season, but Kemba Walker missed two of those games. He is rounding into form, but is that going to push them over one of the most talented teams I've ever seen in my life in seven games? I just don't
see it. Clinton Yates, after seeing Boston last night, any part of you thinking could be possible?
No, it was a nice performance, but dominating the Washington basketball team is not the kind of thing that motivates me to believe that you're going to beat guys that are outperforming like the actual monsters in Space Jam, throwing lobs off the backboard and crazy around the back passes. This team has come together at the perfect moment the Nets have, and I don't think that Boston has much of a chance, and that's nothing to scoff at. The Nets are tremendous. That's the whole reason we've been
Woody,
talking about
Woody, did you see anything from Boston last night?
Yes, I did. For the entire season on this program and with my friends, I've said the Celtics, overrated, not any good. They had fallen down toward the end of the season, played awful. Then suddenly in the third quarter, I went, this is the Boston Celtics people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. Where did that come from suddenly? Well, then, even though they just ran away from the Washington basketball team, it doesn't matter. They can't do it against the Nets. I mean, the Nets would have to have three more injuries to their top three guys, I think, for the Celtics to have any opportunity to compete in that series. It's going to be 4-0. Okay. I think it's already over.
Thank you very much, Woody. I sense where this is going. Clean sweep, Emily Kaplan.
Yes, indeed. I mean, look, the Celtics are the most Jekyll Hyde team in the league right now, and yesterday was just a perfect encapsulation of that. They start slow, then it's like, oh my goodness, we have a superstar in Jason Tatum, and then it's like, wow, we have health issues, because we know that the Nets don't have great center play, and that's the one area the Celtics could have an advantage, but Robert Williams is hurt again. And as Jackie mentioned, no, they haven't beat the Brooklyn Nets this year. They haven't been particularly close. Honestly, it should be them burning sage in the arena, not Kyrie.
All right, well, so we're taking that. I'm picking up what you're putting down, and then Spurs-Grizzlies is tonight, okay, for a chance to play, and Pacers and Wizards for your viewing pleasure tomorrow because the Hornets were 1-2-3 Cancuning yesterday. So my question is, the way last night's play-ins played out, Clinton, are you recalibrating how you feel about the play-in tournament?
As the kids say on the internet, it does not pass the vibes test for me. I mean, sure, it's great because some players get to, you know, continue their seasons and you get to see things that maybe weren't there. But I never liked this to begin with, and I don't think it added much seeing it.
Even with Lakers-Warriors tonight being part of it, Woody Page, did the play-in as it played out change your mind on this?
Sure, as the old people say on the internet, Clinton, if we can figure out how to get on the internet, that this actually is a good idea. I mean, going into it, I didn't even know who was playing who and why that made any sense whatsoever. But let me just add my few reasons here. I think it helps the draft because suddenly teams that weren't interested suddenly have to get interested because they want to get in the play-in game and maybe not have a lowest draft choice. Number two, I think the players are into it, even though we had a couple of games last night that didn't make sense. I just like the aggressiveness, say, of the Boston Celtics last night. And a third thing is, people want to see more basketball. What's wrong with that? We're going to see a game tonight that we wanted to see probably in 2 years. This is a game we wanted to see. I think it makes sense. I think it's fun. I think it lasts too long. I think there shouldn't be a 7-day break before the other teams get involved in the playoffs.
Allie Kaplan.
I'll join Team Young People here because the vibe for me was all about the way the regular season ended because this play-in tournament gave it extra juice. And for me, that makes it all worth it. And plus, as you said, we haven't even gotten the icing yet. Tonight is the icing. I guarantee if there was a show tomorrow, you guys would be talking about how amazing this game is and how the play-in tournament gave us something.
And Jackie Mack.
Yeah, I can't wait for this game tonight. But here's the thing. Everyone's like, well, the play-in game makes you play so hard to the very end. Oh, really? Did anybody catch what the L.A. Clippers did? How they rested all their guys so they would slip down to the fourth spot and not have to play the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round? Should I mention about all the injuries that has gone through the league? And so many guys were hurt they couldn't even play in these play-in games? Put the brakes on everybody.
I will say this. Other leagues have expanded the playoffs, the NFL did this past year.
Sure.
This isn't just an expansion of the playoffs. This is now, you know, you have to play your way into the playoffs. You know, the sixth seed is the only one guaranteed. So it does have some urgency there. All right. We're taking a break here. We're talking La Russa versus his own team next. And I just wanted to see you saw this stat. I know you did, Clinton, about the Mercedes home run 2 nights ago. Up 10, 3-0 count. It was the 557th pitch to a batter over the last 20 years. It was the first time a batter swung. We'll dive in deep next.
That's not true.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
I don't have a problem with how the Twins handled that.
The most explosive storyline in baseball this season, and it was predicted by many in spring training. Would Tony La Russa be able to jive with the personality of this White Sox team and vice versa? And it's playing out in real time with Yermín Mercedes' 3-0 swing Monday night and the Twins retaliating by throwing at him Tuesday night and La Russa taking the Twins' side and the unwritten rules side, and there will be consequences within our family's side. The whose side are you on is part of this. The other thing to consider is that the White Sox and Tony La Russa have the best record in the league, and whether that matters in your review of La Russa and his team, Clinton Yates, the floor is yours.
It matters a lot because this team is that good and they do have that many personalities, and to have a blanket like Tony La Russa deadening everything, going against his own squad, doesn't even make sense. I hate this for the White Sox. They took a risk on this guy knowing full well there were legitimate character issues, and for him to be coming in and basically putting his own players in harm's way for the purposes of the code of the game, that's ridiculous. And the Twins aren't to be without admonishment on this either. That's the same team that admonished Frankie Lindor for hitting a home run in Puerto Rico and overplaying it in his own home nation, as in baseball. Baseball Nation, to all of this is annoying. There are better things happening on the baseball field than that stuff.
You were scoring at home. That was a double admonishment from Clinton Yates.
Yes.
Woody Page, how about you?
I'm selling the other Tony. I think, having known him since 1974 when he was going to law school, I am so ashamed of what he has done in handling this situation. He should have kept it in-house. Address it with a rookie in the locker room in your office, not publicly like he's done, and don't defend him. And two, if anybody disrespected the game, if you just saw that highlight, the Twins sending in a guy that is throwing 54 miles per hour, what do you expect? It's like a lollipop coming up there.
Emily Kaplan.
La Russa said there'd be consequences in the family, and Mercedes learned the two greatest things in life: never rat on a friend and never swing on a 3-0 pitch by a position player in a blowout win. But, you know, I do think it's a little rich that 2 weeks after Tony La Russa admitted to not knowing some of the written rules in baseball, he's now lecturing us on the unwritten rules while still violating the biggest one, which is protect your players. Stand up for them.
And Jackie McMullen, everything that has been said completely applies, but the one thing I want you to consider while you answer this is that the White Sox, with La Russa this year, have the best team in the league.
They also have the best run differential in the
yeah.
league. But does that make us say, okay, he's wacky, but we embrace all of it? I don't think so, because I think some of the things we're talking about here are an ethical decision on how you're going to handle your team. And I think by what Woody said about keeping it in-house, there was a way to handle this that would have been just fine. You could have said, hey, you know what? He's a young fella. He made a mistake. It's all good. We talked about it. We're moving on, and we're going to be fine with it. You didn't have to say, I'm with the Twins on this. I mean, he should have run over and changed caps if he wanted to do that, for crying out loud. There's a little bit of an institutional arrogance that's too bad, because we should be remembering Tony La Russa as a retired manager who was really fabulous in his day. That's what we should be doing.
You're talking about institution. Yermín Mercedes, they're worried about his arrogance. This is a man who's waited his whole life to get to the majors. You know, he's been a career, and it's, oh man, this story is the story that it's going to keep on going all season long until they sort it out. We're going to move on here. Why can't the Angels have nice things? The Ohtani home run last night aside, they lost again, and they lost Mike Trout, out 6 to 8 weeks with a calf injury. Ringer did a piece about how Trout's injuries are piling up. He's missed 24% of Angels games over the last four seasons. How that might be what derails him from setting all-time records. Woody, are we there at that point with Trout and injuries?
We're getting very close, because it happens year after year. If you look at it, different type of injuries are mounting. And I think it's a problem when you've got baseball's best player. It's going to stick with him, I think, and it's going to affect his legacy. He's going to get into the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest of all time. But they don't win. They don't get into playoffs, and he's injured a lot. I love him in his black pickup truck in spring training when I talk to him, though.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if Mike Trout's going to be the biggest what-if player in Major League Baseball history. I mean, we keep hearing he's so incredible, so marketable. Yeah, but they put him on a team. He signs a lifetime contract, and besides Ohtani, who has worked out around him?
Yeah, that's not exactly on Mike Trout, though. That's not a what-if on Trout. It's what-if on the Angels, I think, is Jackie McMullen. You want to join us?
Yeah, I guess I just see this a little differently than everybody else. I mean, he's in the top 15, I think, in home runs. By the time he's done, he's going to be probably in the top 10
by
or higher.
29.
I understand that he's – right. Yeah, I understand he's had injuries. He's had a wrist, a thumb. Those are – I wouldn't call him a guy with chronic injuries whose career is going to come to a premature end. Listen, the Angels aren't that good with or without Mike Trout, so I'm just not going to heap – I'm not piling on for Mike Trout. The guy's hurt. He'll be back. His season isn't over.
Yates.
Yeah, I think Mike Trout's legacy in baseball at this point is set. He's a great player who is not very popular, who does not want to be very popular, and that's that. When you got a guy who's a legitimate MVP candidate on his team and they're still not any good, I don't think that it's going to change much down the line. People look at him as one of the greatest players that everybody forgot because he played in Southern California, and it's not for the Dodgers.
That horn comes in quick sometimes. McMahon and Page looking good right now. Yates, Kaplan. We're off for the PGA the next couple of days, so the weekend starts right now. Woody, hold on to your pinstripes. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Six no-hitters, because we count Madison Bumgarner's here on Around the Horn, in the first 6.5 weeks of the season. The record in the modern era for a season is 7, and we're on base for 45. Spencer Turnbull, he's been dealing this year, but he led the majors in losses 2 seasons ago. Woody, does that make it more impressive or not as impressive? And have we reached epidemic level with the lack of offense?
We've reached a serious problem in baseball. Strikeouts, home runs, and no hitters happening too often. I think you go to the Atlantic League, which this year is going to move the mound back 6 inches. I think we need at least take a look at that possibility.
If you guys want to rain on Turnbull's parade after throwing the first no-hitter of his career, be my guest. I just will remind you that in 1990, there were 4 no-hitters in the month of June. It's cyclical, Tony. You can tweak the ball any way you like to get those numbers to be different.
I'm trying to remember back. I think it's 3 in June, Jackie, not 4.
4. Incorrect. It's 4.
Okay.
Nolan Ryan, Dave Stewart, Randy Johnson, and Fernando Valenzuela. And by the way, Stewart's and Valenzuela's was on the same day.
Incredible. Incredible. Good. We'll move on. The Tampa Bay Lightning are inclement right now. They are playoff killers. After winning it all last year, they're up 2 on the Panthers with some living right bounces last night. And Vegas and Pittsburgh rallying to even off with Minnesota and the Islanders, respectively. What was the biggest outcome of those game 2s last night, Jackie?
For me, it was the Penguins winning. They were in trouble. Very shaky performance by their goaltender in game 1, Jari. Game 2, 37 saves. Saved the series for them.
Woody?
Jackie, I know you don't care, but Florida hockey, is there anything better than ice in Florida this time of the year? And this series not over. For extra credit, Tony, the Panthers beat Tampa at home twice this year. Series not over.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your points there. Not enough to get you the FaceTime. Jackie Mack, 30 seconds.
Give me another chance.
So imagine my surprise when I was at the Hall of Fame this weekend and I saw Sabrina Ionescu sitting down in the front, very discreetly, there to support Vanessa Bryant. On Friday night, what did she do? She hit the game winner. Now she's become the youngest player in WNBA history to have a triple-double, something that Sue Bird has never done. Just chew on that for a minute. This young woman does everything right. We thought she was going to be a star, and she has followed through all
the way. And the Liberty are 3-0. We'll see you Monday.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota.